time till the daybreak comes around. All my life's a circle, but I can't tell you why. The season's spinning round again, the years keep rolling by. It seems like I've been here before, I can't remember when, but I got this funny feeling that I'll be back once again. There's no straight lines make up my life, and all my roads have bends. There's no clear-cut beginnings, and so far guess you've done the same. But then we lose each other, it's just like a children's game. But as I see you here again, the thought runs through my mind. Our love is like a circle, let's go round one more time.
that for a different opening. Sam's back there covering her head, shaking her head at me. How many have ever heard of Harry Chapin before or listened to any of his music? A few of us. Deb tells me my illustrations are getting old, so there's a few of us that are old, I guess. Harry Chapin was one of my favorite secular singer-songwriters. And he was one of my favorites even before he came out with what I guess was his number one hit, which was Cats in the Cradle. He was my favorite before that even, before everybody else discovered him. He was a storyteller. His songs, though sometimes simple like the one we just listened to, but never sharp, hence the reason he never made mainstream music, or never was that popular. His songs often required and most times provoked us to think. He caused us to think, and I appreciated that. There's a lot of songs out there today, especially, well, even in the Christian world, but especially in the secular world, that don't cause us to think, isn't there? A lot of those songs that people that are my age grew up on, we never even knew what they were saying. Most of the time, if we understood a few words of what they were saying, we didn't understand what it meant. Have you ever listened to those songs now? It's like, how did I like that? What is he even saying? Deb and I, we joke about that all the time. But his songs caused people, hopefully, to think. And I like that. I appreciated it. I appreciated the fact that he recorded this little song, too, because it gave me, and I should say the Lord used it to give me, the inspiration and the title for this morning's sermon. The title is, We All Need Help Getting Around This Circle. It's the truth, isn't it? We all need help getting around this circle. The scripture I'm going to be reading from this morning will be very familiar to all of us. I've heard Keith say it's some of the some of the scripture he loves the most, and it's in Romans 8, 18 through 28. But just kind of put your finger there and hold it for a little while, because we'll get to it directly. But right now, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this day that you have given us, for those that have come out this way, for everything that this day means, for everything that you're doing this day in our lives. Lord, we thank you. Father, we'd be amiss, but we thank you most of all, Lord, for the fact that you saw fit to save us. Lord, that you called us from this world of sin, that you spoke to our hearts, Lord. We don't understand it. We don't understand how you could love us as much as you do, but Lord, we know that we know that we know that you called us to you, that you made a way for us to be forgiven and set free from the sin which so easily ensnares us. And Lord, that there was no other way but your way. Father, I pray if nothing else is said today, that each one of us would understand that deeply in our hearts and our minds. That you, Lord Jesus, are the only way. There is no other. You are the help that we need. You are the way that sets us free from what this world does to us. You are the way that we can overcome this world. Lord, it's that message that I pray for this morning. I pray, Lord, that you be lifted up in everything that's said and done here, and that your glory would be revealed unto us. For, Father, that is what we need most of all, to be in your presence. We love you, Lord Jesus. We pray your will be done in each one of our lives here today and everything that takes place here today in this place. And we pray we leave this place having grown closer to you. And we ask it all in your name. Amen. You know, life, especially human life on this planet, is a very strange experience, isn't it? Been trying for thousands of years, mankind has, to figure it out. It's very, very strange at best. And as Mr. Chapin's saying, though I'm not sure he understood it completely, God has designed a definite circular motion or method to our life, hasn't he? Mr. Bentley and I were talking about it just this morning, that the weeks are just flying by. Summer's gone now. And we're looking at Halloween, and we're looking at Thanksgiving, and unfortunately, we're looking at cold weather, and we're looking at snow. But all those days of the summer have just flown by, haven't they? I told him that it seems like every night I'm thanking the Lord for another day. And those days are starting to become a blur. Time has a way of just passing us up or flying by. But there is a definite circular motion to it. Our planet, at its equator, spins at 460 meters per second, or to use my old outdated illustrations, roughly 1,000 miles per hour spins on its axis at its equator. It's traveling around the sun in an almost perfectly circular orbit, almost perfect. If it was, we'd be in trouble, at nearly 30 kilometers per second, or again for us old timers, 67,000 miles per hour. Our world is traveling. Our solar system travels around the Milky Way galaxy, the one that we reside in, which itself is a big spiral, an average of 828,000 kilometers per hour, or about 230 million years per orbit. So this is the only one we'll be involved in, huh? Life is made even stranger by the fact that most of us spend most of it never giving any thought to any of that. To any of that that's going on. Or how it even takes place. What's even stranger is that most of us never give any thought to life itself. We just live it, don't we? What might be even stranger than that is the times we do try to stop and understand or to contemplate life. Those times only seem to complicate our lives and even make it less understandable. Honestly, when I stop to think about all that spinning, I start to get a little dizzy. But seriously, trying to contemplate or comprehend life without the counsel of the one who designed or created it, seriously, it can be very counterproductive. It can even be a little destructive. It's why so many people end their lives, because they cannot find the meaning for it. And when people get focused on that, it's almost like falling into a pit, isn't it? And that depression starts to come on them because their life makes no sense. Just living life for life itself makes no sense. And when man stops and tries to figure it out by himself, without seeking the counsel of the one who created it, it can be very counterproductive. And it can be very destructive. We see it every day. People are doing it every day. People are ending their lives because life by itself makes no sense. I'm not completely certain that Harry Chapin understood it. But I do believe that's why what I was just speaking of about it being so counterproductive and trying to figure it out. I believe that's why so many of his songs appeal to so many people. And why they give credence to the saying that misery loves company. Because if you listen to his songs, that's what you start to feel. They speak to the futility of life when life is simply lived as a means unto itself. Am I making any sense? Let me try it this way. Life is a strange experience because when it's lived only as a means unto itself, life makes no sense. It really doesn't. When we live life only as a means unto itself, it makes no sense at all. If this is all there is, if all we do is spin around and around on top of the planet a whole bunch of times, one day after another, only to end up inside the planet, then why bother with life at all? The Apostle Paul said it best in 1 Corinthians 15:19. He said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, meaning if this is all there is, if this is all there is, he said, we are of all men, and he's talking about Christian, we are of all men most pitiable. He made it even clearer in 15:32 when he went on to say, if in the manner of men I have fought with the beast at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me? If the dead do not rise, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Life makes no sense if this is all there is. Paul went on to say in 1 Corinthians 15:20, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, who have died. And in 15:33, he also said, do not be deceived, for evil company corrupts good habits. There is more to life. There is more to life than just living, breathing, and eating. Now, every one of us, and God has designed us this way, inherently we cling to life. All of nature around us is that way. You start to spray a plant and that with some kind of something that's going to kill it. And it tries to cling. It tries to live. We have that inherently within us. You start to take our life away and we fight to live, don't we? We all have that. God has inherently put that within us so that we could survive. But if life is all there is, then it makes no sense. It makes no sense to struggle just to maintain this little bit of time that we have if this is all there is. It makes no sense to have rules and to have structure if this is all there is. If this is all there is, we may as well be animals. We may as well live as animals. I would say that that's why so much of mankind does. Because without hope in Christ, without hope of more than what this life offers us, there's no reason to be anything else. I believe every living thing on this planet has the inherent knowledge within it that there has to be more than life, than simply life itself. Romans 1:20 backs me up. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, the things that God has created, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. But sadly, I also believe that man has been deceived. There is a deceiver, isn't there? Been deceived into thinking that he by himself might have the power and the ability to make life more meaningful and the planet a better place to live. And that's simply not going to happen. We are never going to save the planet. Man doesn't have that within him. Man is flawed at best. Man is a fallen creature. Man lives on a fallen planet. Man is sinful. We were talking this morning in Sunday school, which I really got to enjoy, because usually I'm off doing the youth for Sunday school, but this morning my youth never came, so I got to enjoy Sunday school with the grown-ups. It was kind of neat. It was different, not what I'm used to. And believe me, it's not. Our kids are different. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it thoroughly. And we talked about the fact that what was happening back in Jeremiah is still happening again today, isn't it? Solomon was absolutely right. There is nothing new under the sun. There's a reason for that. Mankind has not changed. Mankind is still a sinful creature. Mankind needs help. The good news is, as we discovered in Sunday school, there's help. There's help. There's hope for mankind. The truth is, there's only one hope for mankind. And that is in the person of Jesus Christ. Every creature on the planet has an inherent understanding that they were created. I think if plants and trees could talk, they wouldn't have any problem explaining to us about God. If rocks could cry out, they would tell us about God. If animals could talk, they would explain to us about God. Man actually seems to be the only one with a problem with it, has a hard time understanding it. But I believe Scripture backs me up and tells us that we know. Honestly, I don't have the faith to believe in evolution. I don't have the faith to be an atheist. I don't have the faith to live life without Christ. Because to me, life makes no sense without Christ. But sadly, as I said, mankind has been deceived. Romans 1, 21-23. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Things that they were going to worship. We talked about that a little bit this morning in Sunday school too. Someone brought up that it's funny that we have all these luxuries now that 75 years ago we would have thought, you know, we were just well be living on the moon to have the things that we have. That we have so many conveniences that we have, yet we still can't find time to worship God. We can't find time, and I'm talking about us. I'm talking about Christians, and I believe he was too. As Christians, we don't seem to be able to find time anymore to study God's Word. We don't seem to be able to find time anymore to go to church, do we? To worship God. We just don't seem to have the time that we used to have. And we have all these conveniences now that have given us all this time, yet we're still rushed to do everything. We can't find a time for God, can we? We're still molding things into images, aren't we? We're still worshiping idols. We still have so many other things that take God's place in our life. If something takes God's place in my life, it's an idol. And I'm worshiping it. One day it's going to be so evident to us that all the stuff that was taking up our time is just that. Stuff. Because one day we're going to leave all the stuff behind. And that day the only thing that's going to matter to us is Christ. I know for certain at that time He's going to be in the place that He belongs in everybody's life. I've said it many times, when He splits that sky, there isn't going to be any need for introduction at all. Nobody's going to look up at that sky and say, I wonder what that is. That inherent knowledge that we have within us is going to tell everyone, even atheists, who that is. It is the one who created us, who designed us. We have that within us. And one day, every one of us are going to know where He fits. There's only one place He goes. He is who He said He was. He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He is the only one, and He is the only way. And one day everything else in our life is just going to be stuff. If we're not completely convinced, there's always my old standby scripture. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. It ended in death 10,000 years ago. It ends in death today. There's only one way that ends in life, and that is Christ. It's Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25. So important that God gave it to us twice. This also might be a good place to throw out something, a comment a friend of mine posted this week on Facebook. I shared with her that I was going to post it, that I was going to talk about this. She said, we plan and God laughs. She also says she's going to hang on to this roller coaster called life and do her best, pardon the expression, not to puke. Life does give us a ride, doesn't it? It can often give us a spin from time to time. I don't know about you, but I get motion sickness just thinking about it. You spin me around in circles three times and you better get out of the way, because you're going to be in trouble, and so am I. And sometimes, truthfully, most times, all the time, life brings us that. The Lord told us that in the world we would have tribulation. But He also told us to be of good cheer, because He's overcome the world. Doesn't mean we're going to walk in a rose garden. I'm bringing everything back to Sunday school, but we talked about that. Or you guys talked about that. I mostly just listened and enjoyed. Talked about that too. I think there were three kinds, three places we were. Either leaving behind a trial, getting ready to go into a trial, or being in a trial. I think Dr. Jeremiah said that, didn't he? And that's the truth, isn't it? That's what life is. And quite honestly, the quicker we understand that, the quicker we understand the answer to that. God has not promised us a rose garden in this life. Life is hard. It's very hard. We live on a cursed and fallen world because of sin. And we're the biggest supplier of it. It dwells in us. And life is hard because of it. But as Jesus said, He's overcome the world. He's overcome sin. He paid the price for sin, that we might overcome it too. Let's look at Romans 8, 18 through 28. Because even though we spin on this planet, God has a way to keep our life on track and prevent us from losing our lunch. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Doesn't always feel that way, does it? Probably didn't always feel that way to Paul either. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly, it's a microphone, waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly, why am I having such trouble with that word, wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8, 18 through 28. On July 16th, 1981, just after 12 noon, Harry Chapin was driving on the Long Island Expressway on his way to perform a free concert at Eisenhower Park in East Meadow, New York. He did a lot of that kind of work. He spent most of his money helping people. They say he had as many as 30, 35 people in his household that he supported. They talked to him about all of his millions of dollars that he had, and he made the statement that the money's not mine. The money's for the people. He did so much to help hungry people and homeless people. He was on his way to do a free concert to do that, just that. Witnesses say he was out in the fast lane. They say he put on his emergency flashers at first, then he slowed down to almost just about 15 miles an hour. He veered right, then left, then right again. And he drove directly into the path of a tractor trailer. Tractor trailer couldn't brake in time. It ran over the rear of his 1975 Volkswagen Rabbit. A millionaire, and he's driving a Volkswagen Rabbit. It ruptured his fuel tank. It caused it to burst into flames. Driver of the truck and a passerby got Harry Chapin out of the burning car by cutting his seatbelt and dragging him through a window before it was engulfed in flames. He was then taken by helicopter to the Nassau County Medical Center, where doctors tried to revive him for 30 minutes. They said they had 10 doctors in the room working on him. Hospital later would say that he died of a heart attack. Harry Chapin was 39 years old. Just a puppy. He is buried in a cemetery in Huntington, New York. And on his grave marker are the words from one of his songs. The song is titled, "I Wonder What Would Happen to This World." It says, "Oh, if a man tried to take his time on earth and prove before he died what one man's life could be worth, I wonder what would happen to this world." You know, I don't know for certain, because nobody really knows our heart but us and the Lord. But by all reports, Harry Chapin was at least agnostic and probably was an atheist. At any rate, there's no record of his ever having asked for the only help that exists for this swirling planet. Sometimes I lean on my own understanding. Sometimes I turn away. Sometimes I ignore my help, and my helper. Sometimes I try to go away which seems right to me. We all know where that way leads us, don't we? And this part I can't explain at all. I understand my nature. I understand that's why I like Mr. Chapin's songs so much, because they portrayed my nature so well. He portrayed mankind so well. He saw it so plainly. I don't understand, though. I don't understand why God pursues me. I don't understand that even though I know better and I turn away from Him, He still pursues me. And He still catches me. And He still brings me back. I don't know why He called me out of a world of sin and He didn't call Harry Chapin. He could have done so much better of a job of explaining this than what I can. But I know that God is on His throne. I know that He's in control. And I know His ways are so much above my ways that they're past my finding out. And I praise Him because He saved me. I praise Him because He continues to work in my life, continues to help me make my way around this planet, around this circle of life, continues to pursue me. And I can also tell you this. The Bible tells me very plainly that God is no respecter of persons. What He did for me, He'll do for all of us. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You ever been there? When you are, you know the truth of the Scripture, don't you? You ever been to a place where you've done so much that you just don't know how to come back before Him? And sometimes all you can say is, help. If you have, you know the truth of the Scripture. You know that He helps. You know that His Spirit prays for us. That He searches our hearts. He knows the mind of the Spirit, what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know, and Lord, I pray we know, that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Jesus told us to love God above all else, and to love our neighbor as ourself. That's the order they go in. We can't begin to love our neighbor or ourself until we love God above all else. The Scripture says, works together for good to those who love God. If we love God above all else, we'll love ourselves and we'll love our neighbors as ourselves. And all the problems that this circle of a planet that we live on gives us, quite honestly, won't amount to a hill of beans if we put things in priority. If we love God above all else, we put Him first, everything else in this big circle will make sense. And even when it doesn't make sense, even when we're so dizzy we can't stand, it will continue to work together for our good. Hey, we talked about that in Sunday school this morning too. Or you guys did. I just listened. But it's the truth, church. It is the truth. If we will place God where He belongs in our life, then no matter what else happens in our life, won't matter. Won't matter. Because just as Keith explained so well this morning in Sunday school, one day again, they're going to start to sell property in this place. People are going to own. No matter what this life does to us, that might not make sense unless you were there, I guess, huh? But no matter what this life does to us, there's something on the other side of this life. Don't ask me to explain or describe it, because I can't. Because it's beyond my comprehension. The fact that he would call me and love me from a world of sin is beyond my comprehension. I can't begin to explain what he's prepared for us. That doesn't mean I don't know it's there. Because I do. Because he's there and he's here and I feel him. Even when things are crazy, I feel him. I know him. My prayer this morning is that you would also, each one of you, would know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Would live with him, Lord, over your life. And I can guarantee you, because his word says so, if you'll do that, all things will work together for good for you. Not good things will work together for good. All things will work together for good. Even those things that aren't good. Because he didn't say they would be good. He said they would work together for our good. If we will place him as Lord over our life. I can guarantee it, because that's what his word says. That is my prayer, that each one of us would know that more than we know anything else. Because we all need help getting around this circle. Every one of us need help getting around this circle. We're going to have a song of invitation. And I would ask you not to run off, because we're also going to have a baby dedication. The baby dedication has been a few weeks coming. We've had to travel around a circle a few times, but that day is here. And we are going to have one. Would you all stand, please?